The first reading is taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need. For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours, according to his riches, in glory, in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks so much, Caroline. Hi, everyone. I'm going to pray because we want God to help us. Dear God, please help us understand a little bit more about you this morning and about how we can live for you and be content. Amen. Okay. We've got some slides that are going to come up in a minute. I want to ask a little question. How often do you find it hard to kind of get through the day? I find it hard to get through the day sometimes. Sometimes the days can be quite difficult. Bad things can happen. Just lots of difficult things in general are happening, and so it can make every day quite hard. Sometimes an awful thing could have happened to your family or to you, to someone you really care about, that can make it hard to get through the day. Sometimes it can be difficult to cope with life. It's a bit of a grin of word, but sometimes it can be difficult to cope with life. Now, I've got some films, pictures from films to show you, and I want you to try and tell me what the people in the films are struggling with, what they need to be able to sort things out in their lives. Because most films, I don't know if you've ever noticed, when you watch a Disney film or a grown-up film, most films are based on the premise that there's something wrong that needs to be sorted out for life to be okay. Let's see what we've got. I've got some of the DVDs, but this is a film called Chicken Run. When I was a child, this came on. Hands up if you've watched Chicken Run before. Enough hands. Okay, great. Becky, can you tell me, can you tell me, what do they need in the film to sort for their life to be okay? They need to escape, don't they? Because they're trapped inside, well, they're hens, so they're trapped inside a hen cage. I mean, we normally would think that's okay, but because they're different in this film, they want to get free, to freedom. And that's the thing that they're looking for to make things okay. What else have we got? What's next? Does anyone know what film this is from? Florence, you know what film this is from. What's this from? Frozen 2. Who is that, Florence? Elsa. What does she need? This might be tricky for you. What does she need, Florence, in this film to make things okay? She needs less power. Great. That's a good answer. She needs less power, not more. I think in these films, Elsa, if you ever watch Frozen, I recommend it, even if you're of the elder variety, it's very good. She needs to discover who she is and how her power works so that she doesn't cause a disaster on her town. She needs to discover herself, really. It's quite a modern story. That's how what she needs to figure out so that she can get through life, so that her town can get through life. What's next? What's next? I love this guy. This guy is called... Can anyone tell me what his name is? So I hear it whispered. Mr. Incredible. What's wrong with Mr. Incredible? Aaron, what's wrong with Mr. Incredible here? He's got a boring job. What does he want to do, Aaron? And what is the exciting job that he could used to do? You've not seen it. Aaron hasn't seen it. I can't believe your children's lives must be safe. What? Who can help me with this? Who can help me with this? Go on. He wants to be a superhero because he is a superhero. He wants to be a superhero so he can save people and then he'd be able to get through life a bit more easily. We'll go with one more. This might be for the grown-ups. This film's called Jurassic Park. Can anybody tell me what the problem is here? Anybody? Yeah. Not just the dinosaurs, velociraptors. They're a particularly sneaky form of dinosaur, aren't they? Very clever. They hunt in packs. Very good. So in Jurassic Park, there's a problem because the dinosaurs and the people are mixed up. And they're struggling to, you know, what do they need to sort out? Well, they need to get free of the dinosaurs, otherwise they'll all die. Struggling to cope, you see, with that situation. Lots of films are like that. Struggling to cope. There's a problem. We need to sort it. We need to fix it. I've been talking for so long that my iPad's gone off. Look, life is difficult, and often there are things in our lives which are tough. They're like little stories. We need to overcome things and get through things, and sometimes stuff can be so hard that it's hard to cope. We're in the book of Philippians, where Paul, the person who's writing it, has a hard life. He's in prison. And he doesn't have a lot of things that we might think we need to get through life. He doesn't have a house to live in. Well, he might be in house under house arrest, but it's not his. He doesn't have freedom to do what he likes. He's chained to a soldier. His food is not very nice at all. He doesn't have much money because he's in prison. And he doesn't know if he's going to die soon. Because he might be executed. And he's had a really hard life up to this point. Since he became a Christian, he's been trying to tell people about the gospel on a special mission, and he's been treated badly at lots of times. He's got scars on his back from being beaten up, and he's regularly not had three meals a day, all of those sorts of things. And in this letter, Paul has got to a point where he's starting to think about the gift that this church have sent him. He's written to the Philippian church, and he's thinking about the gift that they've sent him. And he's starting to talk about the gift now. And I don't know if you've ever written a thank you letter. Has anyone written a thank you letter back to somebody before? I have. I used to have to write them when I was a child, and I didn't used to like it. I used to get lots of gifts, and my mum always said, make sure you write down who's got you what before you throw the packaging away or the wrapping away, because I would just rip open a present and throw it aside. Mum said, keep a note of it, because you have to write a thank you letter. I was like, oh, Mum, do I have to write a thank you letter? Do I have to, Mum? Yes, you do. It's like, I don't know how to write a thank you letter. And she would say, well, here you go. I'll give you a template. I'll show you how to write a thank you letter. Write, dear whoever... Uncle John. Then say, the first thing you have to say is thank you. Thank you for the thing, gift you sent, the money you sent, the car you sent, the toy you sent. Thank you. And then say, I'm using it for this. And then think of something else to say. And if you can't think of anything else, just saying thank you very much again and say, and sign it off and I'll send it to them. And it was torture for me. But That's what you'd expect, isn't it? Someone gives you a gift and you say, thank you. The thing is here, when Paul gets to talking about their gift, it's almost like, it almost seems rude because he doesn't say thank you straight away, or not really at all. Instead, he says these words. He says, I'm really glad you've renewed your concern for me. You had no opportunity to share, but not that I'm speaking of being in need. Paul says, I'm not in need. But the funny thing is, the Philippians knew he was in need, and he was in prison, and he didn't have much food. What's he talking about here? And this is the big thing for the first talk today, is Paul's talking about a different sort of need. Not a, I need things, but a deeper need. The thing that he really knows he really needs to get through life. And that need is having a relationship with God. Because he says this, I know what it means to have loads of stuff, to have plenty. I know what the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. But he says this, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He says he can do all things through him, God who strengthens him. You see, it's a little window, this passage, on what we really need in life. We don't need often the things we think we need, but we really need God and to know him and that he can help us through anything. And that's the great thing about Christianity, that God actually gives himself to us so that we can have him. I'm going to stop there, and what are we going to do now, Hannah? We're going to think about our lives and think, actually, sometimes do we live our lives in a way where we think we need lots of things and don't really need God? Or we need God and lots of things, when Paul says, actually, all we really need is him. One of the great things about, you know, the gospel, there's this message that Paul has got, is he's saying the thing that I need more than anything, and actually the thing that will help me through all of life, is knowing Jesus and being forgiven by him, having eternal life from him, and having his strength, God's strength in me, to deal with anything that I face, whether I have loads of stuff or have nothing. That's the amazing news of Christianity. Because that is such a great message, it was Paul's message that he wanted to share with as many people as possible. And so he gets in this little section. He starts to talk about how the Philippians have been really great with it and really supported him. And he did it a bit like this. I'm trying to get across why they were so encouraging. So imagine I've got two friends. These are Ella and Florence's toys. This is Squishy. They're quite popular at the moment, I believe. Have you noticed that, Aaron? Have you spotted that these are quite popular at the moment? They're really soft, to be honest. If you sleep on one of those, you'll have a good night's sleep. This is Squishy, and this is Bramie. And I want you to imagine, with all of your good imagination, that these are two good friends of mine. Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm trying to raise some money for charity. Say I'm going to raise some money for Hope Central. And what I'm going to do, I don't know, I'll go for maybe for a sponsored run, or I don't know what I'll do. I'll do something. And I'm asking for support and help with that. Now, if Bramie here says, I really want to support you. I think way to go. But all Bramie does is say, well done, keep going, I'm behind you all the way. But Squishy, he says, way to go, keep going, I'm behind you all the way, and here's a few pounds of my own pocket money to help you out. Now, I know that they've both got the same amount of money. Which one of them would you say is the most supportive of what I'm trying to do? Well, it's going to be Squishy, isn't it? Because he's not just said, come on, I'm behind you all the way. He's also given some of his money. And money's important to people, isn't it? It's valuable. It can do things. It can buy things for ourselves. It can get all sorts of stuff. Squishy could get all sorts of things with his money. But he's chosen to give some to support me. Now, the point of that is simply to make the point that when you share your resources or your money with somebody, Even if it's a small amount, it shows that you're committed and you really want to support someone. More than if you didn't share any money. You don't have to share money to support someone, but it's true, isn't it? If you share some of your money, you are supporting them more than if you weren't. And that is why Paul is so encouraged that the Philippians, if they sent this gift, he's not as bothered about having his needs met. He's just so glad that they support him. Because he needs encouraging, because it's hard. And so he says, it was kind of you to share in my trouble. You know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me except you. Even in this place, you sent me help for my needs once again. He's so encouraged by their giving and their support that he wants to let them know. And he says, thank you. And he rejoices that they've done that again. Now, here's why that's really important, I think. Here's why that's really, really important. It's important for us because we're Christians too. And we're encouraged to live like, well, this church, to support people and things that do this sort of work, to share the gospel message and try to tell people about Jesus.
Second reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 24. It's Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is the word of the Lord.
Right. I have, there are, and there are a few select seats which were completely randomly chosen. There is some money. Would you like to look under your seats? There's quite a bit floating around, so I'd like everyone to look under their seats, actually, because I can't remember where I put it. But it's stuck underneath. You'll have some, there's a little sheet with questions on, but there's also, in some seats, there's some money, a coin or a note. Not the questions, keep looking. Tell me if you found any money. Not the sheet, not the questions. There's some money under some sheets. Has anybody found some? Keep looking. Genuinely keep looking. Keep looking. Definitely keep looking. Keep looking. Right underneath. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Keep looking. It's worth it. Trust me, it's worth it. Really worth it. Look right underneath. Right underneath all of the seat. Look under it. Please do. The whole point relies on you looking under your seat. Has anyone found anything under their seats yet? Please look under your seat, the Alcazars. Please. Right underneath. Please do it. Yes! Yes! Has anyone else found any? Sorry. I thought it would be easy. I thought that would grab you more there. It would really have grabbed me, I think. Has anyone else found any money? Yeah, you've got some. You've got some. Okay. Charlie, what have you got? What have you got there? Hold it up. What is it? A coin. Do you know how much it is? £1. Charlie, you can have that, but I want you to tell me, I want you to put it in the safest place. Where is the safest place you can think of putting it? Let's keep it super safe. In your pocket. Very good. Okay. Who else has got money? Now, is it great or evil? How much have you got? What is it? A pound? Okay, you can have that, but I want you to put it in the safest place you can think of. Where's the safest place you can think of? Maybe somewhere at home, or where would you think? Have we got anywhere? Go on. Where's the safest place? Say again? Jewelry box, solid. No one would look there. Brilliant. Alcazar's. What have you got? Can you hold it up for everyone to see? £5. Now, you can have that, but I want you to tell me, I want you to put it in the safest place. Where can you think is the safest place for that money? The bank. The bank. Did anyone else think the bank would be the safest place? They did. That's great. Okay. Just very quickly then, before we come to our very final song. We've got some money. Often we put money in the safest place we can think of. One of the safest places in the world to put precious things is a place in America. It's quite well known. It's called Fort Knox. And if you wanted to, it's very safe, because if you wanted to break in to a place called Fort Knox, where this is a really, really like secure bank, you would have to climb four fences. Two of them are electric fences. Have you ever touched one of those electric fences where there are cows? Hurts a little bit, doesn't it? But these are proper electric fences. Then you'd have to sneak past armed guards that are lining the fences as well. You've got to obviously avoid, there's loads of video cameras. You've got to avoid those. And you can't blast through the big granite walls around the outside of the fort, because they're about how wide are they? They are very wide. They are 4 feet thick, and they're held together by 750 tons of reinforced metal steel. So if you get past the armed guards inside after you've done all of that, plus the maze of the locked doors, you'll probably be stopped at the 22-ton vault door. But don't despair. The vault can be opened, but only if you find all of the SNAF staff members who know a little part of the code to get in to the door. And once you're inside, you have to break into smaller vaults to get the gold, which is inside. And then after all that, if you've managed all that and you've got outside with the gold, you have to make sure you've not disturbed the 30,000 soldiers who are based next door in an army camp. Very secure. I think one of the most secure places in the world. A little bit more secure than Charlie's pocket and the jewelry box and even the normal bank. You think that must be the safest place to put my money? But no, there is a safer place to put some of our money. Did you hear it in the reading? Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust will not destroy and where thieves cannot break in and steal. We don't give money or give our stuff away or to help people share the gospel message to get into heaven. Jesus does all of that for us. He gives us that as a gift. But Christians will be there one day, and it's possible to store up treasure there by living in a way that pleases God and using our money in a way that pleases God too. That is why one of the things that Paul is really encouraged by in this letter to the Philippians, he's not so bothered about having stuff for himself, but he says this: not that I seek your gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. And he says that what you've done is a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. You see, he's so excited that the Philippians have shared some of their money with him and God's mission, because he knows that by giving their money to him and God's mission and what God wants to do in the world, that they've given it to God. And so it's means that there's treasure stored up for them in the most secure place, which is really encouraging for the Philippians. And I think it's a good thing for us to hear. Because money, you see, is a bit of a sneaky thing. Often people think it's just good. Well, that's not really how the Bible talks about it. It's a good gift, but it's not just good. Because it can be a little bit sneaky. It can convince us we need more and more and more of it to be safe and secure. Always a little bit more. If you ask people with lots of money what they want a little bit more money. A little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more to be safe and secure. And Jesus seems to say, beware of that. Watch out for that. Because you can't serve money and God. You've got to choose. And one of the healthiest ways, even if you're a little tiny person with a little bit of pocket money, one of the healthiest things you can do with your money is to give some of it away. And that's why Paul's happy with these guys. Because they are doing that. And it shows that they've got a healthy heart. A heart that doesn't just love money, but loves God. And so their money fits under that. It's quite encouraging, bit of a challenge. Probably be good to us to think about our money as families, if we're here as a family, or by ourselves. Even if you've got a little bit of pocket money, it's a great habit to get into, thinking, do I really just want more and more money? Or do I want to use my money, well, to serve God and others?